page 23 of the Maimon Hador. We're just at the end, last Erev Shabbos, got a glimpse of a certain thought of the Tzaddik of Rav Kook that requires a great deal of work for us to be able to understand. And the truth is that really it's so deeply rooted in the inyan of Tzimtzum and Hispashtus and how the Rabbeinu Shlom made the world. But it definitely sounded new to us. But it's hard to argue with the reality that he's describing. And that is, in the middle of the page, we just did those last few words, V'achshav ha'klal nisroimen, al-cheshbonim shal ha'ishim ha'protim. V'achshav ha'klal nisroimen, that in earlier generations, what we saw was a very, very strange but obvious discrepancy between the small number of exceptional tzaddikim, I mean exceptional, astonishing tzaddikim, and the hamoin am, who of course were wonderful and sweet and were maminim, but for the most part were not learned at all, and were very, very, very poshut, and even though we don't usually associate the Alta Haim with things that are not so pleasant, but there was a lot of unpleasantness as well in the Shtetlach. Whereas in our times doesn't mean Tovshin Ayin Hay, beginning already before Rav Kook, at the same time when everything was changing, but the Baal Shem and the Gro at that time, things began to shift, where Haklal Nisroimim, that's where we're up to in the middle of page 23, Haklal Nisroimim, Al-Cheshboinam Shel Ha'ishim HaPratim. So things began to shift, where the Klal was Nisroimim, where suddenly the Hamayin Am, the Klal, began to ascend. There was a tremendous intellectual, spiritual upheaval that affected masses and masses and masses of Jews and Jewish communities. But what's fascinating is that it seemed to be on the cheshbon of the Ishim HaPratim. It was on the cheshbon of the Madrega of the individuals. So now what happened was that we have, it seems, that the wealth of Hashem's presence is more evenly divided, more evenly spread out. Shezo b'chlal mahalach atoilodo ha'anoishis merube tkufais ha'historia. And Rav Kook says that this is the mahalach, the general mahalach of history, of how history works over the periods of history, over time, where Kedusha, but not just Kedusha, but in particular Kedusha, that was Misrakes, that was concentrated in individuals, is dispersed over time to the multitudes. Ki'ilu, there's a certain amount of Kedusha, there's a certain amount of Torah that's in the world at any particular time. If the Jewish people want that, if they're seeking that, they can have access to that. If the multitudes of the Hamoin Am are not seeking that, then it will remain focused and concentrated in some individuals. So now we don't have any more the likes of Rabbi Kiva and the Chasam Sofer and the Baal Shem Tov and the Gro. We don't have anything like that. Really not even close to that. We don't have anything like that. And it's not a long time ago historically, but we don't have that. But at the same time, we have a Shia Erev Shabbos in Woodmere. That It wasn't happening in the shtetl. Not that they didn't have people walking in with all of Golis on their backs to learn a little Mishnayos, a little Ein Yaakov, but for the most part, the Hamayinam was very, very detached. Was very detached from Madregas in learning and Madregas in Kedusha. And at that time, when everything was changing, this shift took place. And really, in order to understand this properly, one has to learn a little bit the beginnings of the sugya of Tzimtzum. It's very much connected to these parashiyos also, what we're learning. Maybe Mitzvah will talk about that more next time to understand. Let's just try to see a little bit. Of what Rav Kook is saying. So on the motzim chachamim na'alim gedolei ruach, b'doros harishonim, we find very great, elevated chachamim gedolei ruach, of great spirit, b'doros harishonim, in the earlier generations, shonim mishtoim, that were astonished al godlam va'oz rucham, on their greatness and the strength of their spirit. On a mishtoim, we're dumbfounded. Aval haklal b'doros harishonim, however, the general hamoin am in the early generations, hayinosim b'shefel hamatzav, was for the most part b'shefel hamatzav, a very low state. Ben bedas, ben b'musar, both in their understanding of Yiddishkeit, their understanding of Torah, Bechlal, and their understanding of the level of knowledge and intellectual interests and so on, was Shval HaMatzav, Ben Medas Ben B'Musa, even as far as Musa was concerned, even ethically. MS, it's true. Kinala mikol hamayin haya hamayin amenu. Of course, Rav Kook says it's true that our hamon, our multitudes, meaning the Jewish people, was nala mikol hamayin, meaning of the goyim. As far as anybody who's ever studied ancient and medieval history, bechlal, not Jewish history, to get a little bit of a taste of what the Hamayin of the Goyim was like during those years. And you can't compare how the Hamayin Am of Am Yisrael lived in the midst of such filth. I don't mean physical filth, of immorality and ignorance. So, emes kinala mikol hamoin haya hamoin amenu. There's no question that hamoin amenu was on a much higher madrig. There's no question. Yitzad ha-kedush elokis ha-chafefes alav. Because there's the kedush elokis. There's godly kedush that hovers over us and surrounds us and embraces us and touches every single thing in our lives. The kedush, every second of our lives is touched by brachas, by Shabbos, and by Yontiv, and by Chanukah, and by Purim. So you can't compare. And it was a wonder, and it was a very clear thing, and it was a great wonder. My father told me the things that it's hard. It's for a modern person to be masig what was like a typical peasant in Europe, what a peasant was like. When you think of it's hard to imagine. I mean, we've met, all of us have seen people that are not Bali Madregis, but what was a European was a Polish peasant. It's hard to be masig what that was. Such a chefts of a peasant. You can still get a little bit of a schmack of it when you go to Poland these days also. It's not like they had such a gewaldige change, they changed so much since then. But it's fascinating, because at that same time what was happening in the world was that democracy was beginning. We're talking about in the 18th century. And all this is happening. We see that in the world also, that instead of the power being in the hands of a few individuals, democracy meant that the Hamainam begins to have a say in things. It was that it was being decentralized. Power, authority, control at that time was being decentralized, and even by the nations of the world, for the first time, the Hamainam began to go to school, to think, to have a say, to have a say in politics. And so there was a decentralization that was taking place in the world at that time because of this Torah. We'll talk more about it in the understanding of the Tzimtzum. See in the Inyan of Yisraetz Rabbanim Bekirba, that inside of Rivka Imenu, that there's such an Inyan, that the Baruch Shalom, why did he have to make it in such a way? I'm just alluding to this, but to the Inyan, it's a much bigger sugya. But you see that Rivka Imenu has inside of her Yaakov and Esav, and there's a melchama over the two olamos, over two worlds that's going on inside the womb of Rivka Imenu. And the fight seems to be a fight for all or for nothing at all. And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do it in such a way that the womb of Rivka Imenu was a pchin of the creation of all worlds, and there had to be an emptying out of Esav in order for Yaakov to be Yaakov. Michal Kiyom Becheros Chali, the buying of the Bechira, the taking away of the Bechira. What was Rivka Imenu carrying on so much about Yaakov going in to get the brachas? And she knew what kind of a person Esav was. But that which was that koach that was in Esav, where it was divided between the two brothers, had to become completely concentrated in Yaakov Avinu. It couldn't be spread between the two brothers. The koach of kedusha became concentrated in Yaakov Avinu. But you see this everywhere. Entire. There was a kedusha that was in the womb that was shared initially, Yaakov and Esav. But the way that it had to be was that Yaakov would empty out Esav, and all the or all the light that was divided would become centralized in Yaakov Avinu, that he took upon himself the avodah of Esav as well, and he wasn't going to leave any of the kedusha in the hands of Esav. And it became concentrated in the tzaddik in Yaakov Avinu, because Esav wasn't roi lakach. Esav was unworthy of that. And the brothers suspected Yosef at Tzaddik that Yosef was going to do the same thing, that Yosef was going to empty them out. And when they saw that their father Yaakov loved Yosef, me'echov, they understood meant that it was going to be on their cheshbon. I'm just mentioning a few things here. But it was going to be on the cheshbon of the brothers. Kilu, there's a certain amount of love in the world. There's a certain amount of kiddush in the world. And they saw that Yosef, it seemed that they were afraid that Yosef was going to do what Yaakov did to Esav, that Yosef was going to suck out the Kedusha, that there was going to be a disappearance of Kedusha, which is but by the Tzimtzum, that there was going to be a halama of Or, and all of the Or, all of God's presence would be kivyochol pushed into one place. And the brothers of Yosef knew that this is what happened with Yaakov and Esav. What happened with their father, that the Kedusha was divided and then it was pushed out. And Yaakov took everything from Esav and left Esav into an empty kli, into an empty, angry kli. And the brothers were afraid that the love that Yaakov had for Yosef was going to be on their cheshbon. It's not just on their husband doesn't mean that they just were jealous like some chasuv. But about the shiv they come, about the shvat, they're jealous. The kinna was a kinna because they were worried that the kedusha was going to be removed from their lives and was going to shift over to the individual. And instead of it being divided among all the shiftei ka, that it was all going to be concentrated in Yosef Tzadik Yisod Olam. And it was on their cheshbon, the Tzadik Yisod Olam, that they were going to lose that connection that they had to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. It's a very big inyan. But this is something that affected the world at that time, that exactly at that time when there was a sudden need on the part of the Hamayin Am to be represented, to have a republic and not to have a monarchy, that it was a davar pasha until that time, that there are kings, there are queens, there are princes, and the average person doesn't have a word to say. They're all subjects of the king. And then suddenly everything began to become decentralized. And there's a revolution in France, there's a revolution in America. And all of a sudden you have like the Hamayin Am has a shaykhis to determining their own lives and to making decisions and to being represented. If you'd have gone to somebody in the 17th century and talked to them about a house of representatives, listen. Which means the House of Representatives. It means that the king can only cut off so many heads at one time. What does it mean, House of Representatives? and how the began, that koach of shultain, of control, of authority, began to decentralize, and it began to spread like a mist. Over all of Europe, it began to spread like a mist. And then simple people are screaming that they want to have rights. And then a little bit later, that all of a sudden the women want to have rights. And then a little bit later, and then minorities want to have rights. And they're right. But that was something that wasn't even thought of in earlier times. Chalam had a musik like that. The Doris HaAchrayim of Cook writes in the later generations. Hischilo ha'anokim lehismaed. The giants, they began to be less. Hischilo ha'anokim lehismaed. There were less giants. On two levels, that there were fewer, and the ones who were there became smaller. Hischilo ha'anokim lehismaed. But the klal is getting greater and greater. Ba'amenu nismatu haburim. In our nation, the burim, the amaratzim. But a bur is not just an amaratzim. It means a person that is not only that he's not learned, but he's also ethically unrefined and so on. So in our nation, nismatu haburim. And at the same time, nismatu, both nismatu, there are fewer, and huktenu, here he says befeish, there were fewer, and those who were of smaller stature, the goyim and tzaddikim, fewer and smaller. So there are fewer and smaller ignoramuses, and from the cheshbon of the Ga'inim and Tzaddikim, the Or of Kedusha was beginning to decentralize. Was beginning to spread. In preparation for Mashiach Tzekeinu. Mashiach Tzekeinu is V'ro'o kol bosei achtav kipiyat ra'i diber. V'ro'o kol bosei achtav kipiyat Hashem diber. Kol bosei achtav kipiyat Hashem diber. We yell at Kotin in Aigman, but Mashiach is described in such a way as a little child will lead them, the whole, every single Jew. B'neichem, b'neisechem, the Rabbi says, Mesnabim, Chazyonis, children, men, women, children, they're going to have nevi'is, nevuas, and that's what's going to be when Mashiach comes. So, Huktanu ha'gayin v'atzadikim, but kufa ha'nimhara shel achshav, in the frantic period that we're in right now, hadara bolet lema'od. This is very, very obvious. This is very clear, particularly now. Haklal nisraimim, that the klal, the general klal, nisraimim, has ascended. The zois ha'aliyah shel haklal ha'hamoni, and this aliyah, and this ascent of the klal, heseba gam ken yirida, has simultaneously brought a yirida. Gam ken yirida. And because of this, Rav Kook has explained that because of this, this is another reason why the parents and the children don't understand each other. The parents and the children don't understand each other. Are having a hard time understanding each other. The parents were not intellectuals. The parents were of the old school. And they were frightened by the new ideas that the children were coming home with, the new books that they were reading, the new ideas that they had, and the parents were fighting for the children to remain in the old way. And that somehow that the parents believed that they'd be able to preserve Anatevka, you know, forever. It was going to continue forever. But each one of Tevye's children came home with something else. And that's really, it's not, even though Shalom Aleichem was not, he was very, very fond of the shtetl, but he was very critical of the shtetl, but the description was not an inaccurate description of what was happening. What was happening in Europe, that the kids, that digression, first from the first daughter, the second daughter, the third daughter, and finally, you know, the one that comes home with a guy. And that was not at all uncommon. It was a little bit exaggerated, of course, to make it more dramatic, but that's what was happening. And the parents did not have the kelim to communicate with their children. They didn't have the kelim to communicate with their children. So Zayis Aliyah Shaklal Ha'amani Haseba Gam Ken Yerida. It brought in its wake a tremendous Yerida as well. And children don't respect their parents. It's terrible. And children feel that they can't receive from their parents. And the parents are frustrated and angry with the children. And in different ways, this is that Rav Kook is saying, this is the Seder, this is how things are in history. There are fathers here who have had trouble trying to get your kid out of bed to get to shul in the morning, even on a Shabbos morning. And whatever it is that motivates you and pulls you to be that kind of a Jew, you don't know how to communicate that to the children. We don't know how to. And as much as we try, and chinuch and chinuch and chinuch and shiurim and shmuzin and everything about chinuch, But there is something by nature that stands in between the older generation and the younger generation. Shahador kishu moitzei es kol mashu shamei veroa. When the generation finds, page 25. When the young generation finds es kol mashu shamei veroa mehorim umorim, that everything that they're hearing and seeing by their parents and by their teachers, kota me'erko, is of less value. Seems to be small. Seems to be pathetic in the eyes of the children. Like, this is what you're busy with. This is what you're thinking about. There's a big world out there. This big world. There's all kinds of things that are happening in the world. Scientific revolution. The world is changing. And you're standing in the shuk, you know, haggling over the price of a chicken. I'm getting out of here. Just want to get out of here. And they're standing there by Havdalah, watching their parents dipping their fingers into the spritzing wine over themselves and smelling candles, and they're thinking, I'm getting out of here as soon as I can. I'm getting out of this place. I'm not making fun of that minute custom. I do that. We should all do that. It's a very big Indian, by the way. But they're seeing and they're hearing everything they see by their parents. They look at this is cotton me'erko. I'm a thinking, modern person. And my parents are like cavemen. They're stuck in the past. And bechlal, I'm a person that I'm consumed with ideals. I want there to be peace in the world. I'm against the war in Vietnam. I'm against this. I'm for that. And these rights and those rights. And I'm for equality. And I'm for. And they look at the parents, and the parents are still stuck in the old mahalach. And the children were becoming disgusted with their parents. They began to loathe their parents. They were mocking their parents, looked down on their parents. Which, of course, brings to a tremendous shiras hakelim and shiras hamitzvahs and avodas Hashem and learning Torah, and everything's falling apart. And at the same time, they love their parents. There's tremendous confusion. And as I always say, you look at a lot of the pictures from the old country. Just look at the pictures of the family. I'm not talking about the Rebbeisha families. Now look at typical family in Warsaw. Just look at a picture of three generations. Picture. And these are the ones that already came back to take a picture. Many of them just left, disappeared. Done. No shaykhs. We just left. The ones that came back. You had one house, a grandmother that's wrapped up from head to toe, says to him for 15 hours a day. And the one next to her in the picture is a keferis, not bikaris. I'm not talking here about Haredi and modern Orthodox, and I'm talking about in one family, such a serious breach, such an unbelievable separation. And there was a warmth and affection, of course, because Jews love each other. There was tremendous warmth and affection, and in a certain way that made it more painful. My parents are small people. Oz musaram, and when you look down on your parents, oz musar, and your teachers, oz musaram en lokech es lavavo. Then their musar, what they're trying to teach, eno lokech es lavavo. Right? It doesn't take your heart. It doesn't grab you. It doesn't inspire you. You look at them as being b'etzem, people who are of small stature. sweet and kind and good, and you love them, but small, they're small. They're small people. They're small people. My parents don't know how to use an iPad. What is he? He's like a low yusluch or something. My parents are, I have a bottle, they're not part of things anymore. And when I was young, I thought they were so cool. And I realized they're just not at all. So then they turn for their inspiration to the friends who are big idiots than them. And parents have to have arguments with children who are quoting their friends. If you've ever been in that situation, you know what that's like? You just look at this kid, and the kid's saying, but so-and-so, and you know you can't say the words, I'm going to say so-and-so. The two of you together don't have enough seichel for a mouse. You bring me a raya from him? You're bringing a raya from him? That's what they do, they always bring rayas. Everybody in my class, your whole class, all together. The whole class, all together. All together, if you add it all together, maybe equals second grade level of maturity. But you bring me Uriah. And then they'll try to bring Uriah from one of the parents of the Chaveir. Who's also like the queen of the prom or something. And this is what you have to argue with children. But it's discouraging that this has been going on for a long time. It's not this all of a sudden happened. This is how it is. The musa that the older generation, that the parents in the rebbeim, you see, this is what the pizas and the whole hakdama to chabzat talmidim is about. This, the rebbe was mamish, totally with it. He was totally with it. He got it 1,000,000%. And he was considered, by the way, a radical among the tzaddikim in Poland. He was considered, what he was saying was a big chiddush in Poland. But he had, look at the introduction, you all saw it, just review the introduction to Chavos HaTalmidim, what he says to the parents, what he says to the children, right? There's a call to the parents, there's a call to the children. It's exactly what he's talking about. It's exactly what he's talking about. Ozum Usam Enlo Kerches Lavava. The parents, the teachers, they're saying things, it's Enlo Kerches Lavava. It's not reaching their hearts. And it doesn't satiate the spiritual thirst. Not only that, so then the parents, since they're not able to inspire the children, again, because the children are already a part of the new generation, and they have access to certain aura. Of course, they don't know what to do with that aura, the children. They don't know what to do with all of that aura that's now spreading out more and more. So now the parents, they're not able to inspire the children, so if you can't inspire them, then what other choice do you have? They try to frighten the children. They try to frighten and intimidate them into being observant Jews. So that's all Musar and all kinds of warnings and Gehenim and punishments and patching and so on and so forth. But things like, this is what you're doing to me, you don't know what your children are going to do to you. All of these desperate attempts to reel the kids in, to keep them connected. But gam eno matel of shum emo v'fachad. The kids bechlal not afraid. You could hang up on his wall Dante's Inferno, the painting of Inferno, of Gehenna, and tell him this is what you're going to have because of what you're doing, because you're mechal Shabbos, because you're eating the veils and treifas and so on, who your friends are. Eno matel of shum emo v'fachad. Bechlal not afraid. The kids not afraid. So how come that doesn't work for him? That painting that I'm referring to, Inferno, got a lot of marbles in the old days. I got a lot of mileage. That's it's a scary it's a scary painting. Like, what happens if you're a bad boy, you're a bad girl? It's pretty scary. It doesn't work anymore. Why? Mipnei shekvah hisalu b'tchunosam liyos mamid oifi l'chayev mipnei bricha mipachad eze shahaya. What he says, Rav Kook. They're not scared anymore of this stuff. That strategy is not working. But because the young generation has already ascended to a higher level, to establish the way of his life by a way of running away, because of being afraid from something. Remember, one of the things that the young generation detested in the older generations, they felt that the older generation was totally lacking in courage. Were a bunch of Karim Mishtachvim to Haman, and the younger generation this is one of the reasons that they disrespected the older generation. They saw them as chickens, not fighters. If they would have been in Europe at the time of Hitler, they would have fought back. And they're embarrassed that their parents and grandparents were just herded away to the concentration camps. We would never have allowed that to happen. We would have fought. We wouldn't have been afraid. We wouldn't have been. So one of the things that they hated about the older generation was that the whole inyan of pachad, of fear, and using that as a means of bringing people to obedience was something that the younger generation couldn't stand. So that doesn't work. They're no longer going to live their lives. They're no longer going to have their lives defined as an effort to run away from something. They want something. They're not running away. They're running towards something. They don't know exactly what they're running towards. They don't know what they want, but they just know that they're tired of running away. They don't want to run away anymore. That's why they didn't want to look like Jews anymore. They didn't want to identify as Jews anymore, because Jews are always on the run. And they don't want to be that way. They don't want to live like that. They don't want to run anymore. They don't want to be afraid anymore. But that's the inyan of pachad of yira was something that didn't interest them, to be afraid. They wanted a life without fear. And they felt that the old generation lived completely immersed in fear. Afraid of God, afraid of the goyim, afraid of... the whole life was just being afraid. They wanted to identify with something, not to be afraid of something. They wanted to identify, if there's going to be Yiddishkeit in my life, it's not because if I don't do this I'm going to go to Gehenna. They wanted to identify. They wanted to understand and identify with something. When you're afraid, it's the opposite of identifying with. When you're afraid of someone, you're not identifying with that person. You're obedient because you don't want to suffer. But at every single second, you're getting further and further away. So you have all of these rebellion and all of these parents that they think that they have such control over the house. It's just a matter of time. The kids are just planning the escape. Everybody's just planning the escape. You go to yeshiva now, and they'll show you this is my class, look at my class. Everybody's repeating everything over and over again. I'm not talking about little kids. I'm talking about already when you get nowadays 13, 14, 15 years old. They're planning their escape. Looking at the window, looking at the door. When the rabbi turns around, they're out. They're just planning the escape. Well, there are some, but I'm not saying how some of that's, but many, many, many are just trying to get out. It's just not the right time. So in the meantime, they'll be obedient, and they'll be a little bit afraid. They don't want to be different. If you're raised in a firm community, it's hard when you're young. It's hard to envision what it's like outside of that community, and you're very afraid to leave the community. Those are all the people you know. That's the life that you know. But the wheels are turning inside. Because pacha doesn't do it. Fear, intimidation, that's already done. Doesn't work. It did in the past. We spoke about this many, many times. That's not the hanhaga of the world before Mashiach comes. And it doesn't work. And that's why That's why now everybody's trying to identify with something. They want to connect to something. Pachad, punishment and fear, that's the opposite of connecting. It's the opposite of identifying. So it doesn't work. It'll work short term, the same way that if you start screaming and hollering at a kid, the kid will do what you tell him. But while you're doing that, and as that's happening, the kid's thinking more and more, every single scream, every single yell, every single red face that you show the kid with your rage, the kid is further and further away. His house is getting further. He's already out of the five towns. He's already getting now past New Jersey. He keeps on going. Getting away from this. I don't want this. I don't want to be afraid. In the past, Jews were used to being afraid. It was the way, that's how we lived. So if it was a choice between some Cossack and my father, I'd still have my father. I mean, he's not going to kill me. He'll just hit me or something. He's not going to kill me. So it was still better to stay home. But if the choice now is my father or some loving and warm, kind boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever else it might be out there, how they envision the world outside. So I don't have to take this anymore. People don't want to be afraid. In the past, it was a way of life. Bichlal, not just among Jews, but Bichlal was a way of, it was a way of life. It was a way of life. I think this whole past week, it's very hard to be masking this, that, you know, this change that now, a lot of it probably has to do with ISIS, this new vicious that it was Mezgal before Mashiach, this vicious of these animals. So now this thought that every single guy that's working, every Arab in the back of the restaurant, every Arab in the hotel's all Arabs, every Arab driver is a potential murderer. He's got a 12-inch knife in his pocket or something. And Olamov is, when the death has crept into our cozy little even American neighborhoods in Yerushalayim, what it means to live like that, to be afraid that you're walking on the street. So it was that a person would think, well, you know, if I stay away from East Jerusalem, if I stay away from certain intersections, if I don't hang out, you know, by that bus stop by Alon Shvut, you know, I'll be careful. I'm in Hanov, and it's very nice in the Makolot. The Chaya came from the Makolot. The Arab worked in the Makolot. You don't think last week at this time he was telling his Jewish customers Shabbat Shalom? 100% he was saying Shabbat Shalom to everybody. Now everybody you look at could be someone's going to turn on you, who's going to kill you. It's a pachad. I remember 35 years ago, Meir Kahana talking about this. I remember. I went to him many times to hear him. And he was saying, you know how he used to, if you remember him, he was going to say, the time's going to come where you're going to, every single Arab, your neighbors, you're this, the guy in the hotel, the guy in the restaurant, he's going to start poisoning your food, he's going to start turning against you. And everybody's saying, nah, there can't be such a thing. The Arabs are afraid of us. That's never going to happen. It can't happen. They should take some old tapes of Meir Kahana and play it in the Knesset, out loud, play it in the Knesset. I'm sure there are a lot of old tapes. Put it up in the Knesset. When everybody said he's a lunatic, he's a madman, he's an animal, put it up in the Knesset, listen to what he was saying. We're not used to being afraid. Our generation is very uncomfortable with fear. We're not used to being afraid. By our grandparents, our great-grandparents, they lived in fear. Or certainly instability and oftentimes fear. But the young generation doesn't want that. The last thing in the world you want is to be afraid. You don't want to be afraid of some scary guy. You don't want to be afraid of angry parents. You don't want to be afraid. And you certainly don't want to have to think about Gehenna. You don't want to think about God as being angry. Even God is angry at me. Even God hates me. Even God's going to punish me. So then, they're just Not interested. It doesn't work. So that's what Cook says. And by the way, there's a mila to that. There's a great mila to that. There's a mila to not wanting to run away anymore. There's a mila to wanting to identify with something, not to be afraid. Again, these are all hachanas for Mashiach Tzidkenu. We're all getting ready for Mashiach. But the parents are still talking about Gehenna. The parents are talking about, oh, you're going to be in such trouble. And once the kids see that the parents have no control over them, so then the parents start talking about what's going to be with you with God. In the next world, he's going to get you. I can't get you, but you're going to see what God's going to do to you. It doesn't work. Whether it's actual, real pachad, tangible pachad, ben tziyuri, or something that you paint a picture using the imagination, like Inferno, Gehenna. Ben chamri, ben ruchani, whether it's physical fear, physical intimidation, punishment, or ruchni is something they're going to be somehow spiritually damned, you know, whatever it is. So listen to what Cook says. First of all, they're not nispal. They were not nispal. He was talking about in his time. Now it's much different in this way. He says, "Hatzaris v'hatlos hanaros asu lenukshev az." The tzaris the Jews had in those years, the horrible, frightening tzaris that they went through, made them into tough people. So they weren't pushed around. They didn't get pushed around. Now it's everybody's babies. But back then, because we were raised in a very pampered way. But people who had been through such sorrows, you couldn't frighten them by saying you're gonna have a Gehenna. So this is what you have to tell me, have Gehenna now. Not you're gonna have a Gehenna, it's already Gehenna. They weren't afraid. That wouldn't work. The meaning of making them afraid. They already had become hardened by gullus, by suffering. Had Sarasvatlos on the rose asul and nukshavas, and they didn't want any more of it. They were tired of suffering, and they were hardened by their suffering, and they didn't want any more. My father, Zolgazon Zayin, told me how, when they were in the DP camps, so my father said there were representatives coming, like from the Sochnut, you know, from the Jewish agency, to sign them up to come to Eretz Yisrael and to join the army, to come and to fight against the Arabs. The things were cooking, of course, in Eretz Yisrael at the time. It was starting to cook. The bubbles were getting bigger. And my father said that for the most part, he said, you know, so they had these representatives coming to us and talking to us, like trying to fire us up to go, and we're going to go fight for our land, and look what you went through over here, and this is because of the guy and what they did to you, and now we're going to... So my father said that they would talk to each other, and they would say, like, so we're going to have to go from now, Esav to Yishmael. We're tired. It's enough already. I don't want to fight anymore. I'm tired. I don't want to fight. I don't want to run. I don't want to... So now you tell me they made this like heroic thing, and they show the Sabra with his arms rolled, sleeves rolled up, and he's got big muscles, and they came to show this to the survivors, and you're going to be like this guy. And I said, I don't want to be like this guy. I just want to get away from everything, from this noise and killing and fear, and just to have a normal life. And I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to fight. I don't want to run. I don't want to... This is what... Again, it's very hard for us to picture what it was like. At the same time that they were hardened by their suffering, and they were used to suffering, they were also determined not to suffer anymore, not to have any more punishment. So that's a combination. On the one hand, they're strong, hardened people because of all the suffering, but dafka because of that. There's no way in the world you're going to frighten me into being frightened. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm done with it. If they'd be soft and gentle, so you'd still be able to work on them. But they've been hardened by Golas. And now, because of this hardness, they're able to stand up and say, Maspik, I don't want that anymore. I'm not going to live like that anymore. So when they were coming and talking to them about all these big idealistic things, so I know that maybe people talk about it differently. My father said, for the most part, they were just saying, Hachkasha, do me a favor. I don't want to hear this stuff now. I don't want to hear this stuff now about idealism. Just that tired. I don't want to live this way.
So there's no threats,
no intimidation, no fear could shake them up. That wasn't working.
All
the young generation wanted and all they were prepared for was l'hisromein, to ascend. A higher life. What they envisioned as a higher life. But a higher life. Not to have my parents yelling at me, not to have God yelling at me, not to have a Rebbe yelling at me. They're reading romantic novels and books, and they see the guy walking along the street, along the boulevard, holding hands, and their hearts are turning inside. Why can't I have such a thing, to walk along with somebody like that, with holding hands, or, you know, going to the theater? There it is, because if you touch that hand, your hand is going to burn again. Do me a favor. Well, it does. They're not shaken up by those things.
All they were looking for was for elevation, higher. The leches baruch haim, to go in a way of life. Ha'leches lamala lemaskil. In other words, if I'm going to have a connection to Yiddishkeit, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to be able to have a Yiddishkeit that's lamala lemaskil, that I could understand, not because I'm afraid, not because you're threatening me. I want to be able to understand. I want to feel that it's true. I want to identify with it. I want someone to explain to me why I should put on film. I want you to explain to me why I should shluck a paris. I need to understand this. I'm not going to do it because of your threats. The only way I'm interested in this is if it's a way that it's lamala lamaskil. Lamala lamaskil. That's for Mishle. Lamala lamaskil. With haskalah, with understanding.
So then the reaction of the older generation is, a chutzpah, I didn't have to understand, why do you have to understand? So could you explain to me? So I know you didn't have to understand, but how about but I like to understand, could you explain to me? A slap on the face. What do you mean, I should explain to you? We eat and this is what we do. A slap on the face and the kid walks away, that's the end of it. We finished. Lamalu lamaskil. They want an Erech Chaim, Ha'ilachas Lamala Lamaskil. It's mamish, the same thing now. It's the same thing now. It's the easiest thing in the world is to say that all the kids are interested in is just the internet and taivas. It's a big, big mistake, and we're paying a heavy price for it. The kids nowadays also, if you talk to them, and if you explain to them, of course you have to get through all the narishkeit. There's a lot of narishkeit, but lamal lamaskil, the generation's murdik. A murdik sheifa, ritzainis, big ritzainis, big sheifas. But as I always say, you can still talk to them the language of 1955, 1965, so it's not, which is the language of pachad, of year and so on. It's not the lamal lamaskil that they're looking for.
The young generation cannot, gamim yirtze, even if they wanted,
Ilios kofuf v'shachuach, to be bent over and submissive. They finished with that. Again, they were disgusted with how their parents were like that. They're not going to be that way anymore. They're not going to bend over anymore and be submissive.
Gam im yitzel yos kofu v'shachuach. No say all v'netel, to carry the weight and the burden. The weight upon the shoulders of what? Of Yer Shemaim, of Ha'od Hashem, and so on. Page 26. Asher lo yuchal limso besocho. They cannot do it. They simply cannot. Asher lo yuchal limso besocho roshem shel or chayim l'dei v'regesh. If they cannot find inside of what they're being told the light of life, l'dei v'regesh, that appeals to the mind and to the emotions, they're just not going to do it. They can't. They can't, lo yuchal, they can't. They just can't bring themselves to do it. Unless they're able to see in the Yiddishkeit that we're offering them roshem shel or chayim ledeya v'regesh. At least a roshem, at least something. A roshem shel or chayim ledeya v'regesh. Otherwise, they simply, Rafik's saying, it's not that they don't want to. He says, even if they wanted to, they can't anymore. They're in a different world. They can't. Unless there's a reishim shel or chayim, that they have a regish. So if it's just a matter of yelling and screaming, telling them to turn off the thing and you can't watch, you're only allowed to watch 9 hours of internet a day. You can't do the 12-13 that you're right now doing. It's got to be down to, you've got to cut it down to 9 or 10 hours. So, and on your phone and on this and that, and it's not good for you, it's not good for you, it's not good for you. Why isn't it good for me? I like it. The kid says, I like it. Maybe it's not good for me. I enjoy it. Why isn't it good for me? And if we're not going to explain it without day and without regesh, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's bad for you. It says, what does it mean? When you say the words, it's bad for you, that's using pachad and yira. It's bad for you, it's bad for you, it's going to hurt you. So we're using the same methods that our parents use, just it's toned down, it sounds more sophisticated. A little bit more sophisticated. Now you're going to get this, you're going to get that, but it's the same language, and the kids don't get it. And they don't get it. Unless it has a ratio of Archaim, Badei, and Regish, they're not going to get it. Well, Hashem Yisbarach should help that us and all of our children should be safe and pure inside and out.